Hello, fellow Earthlings. It's me, Bailey. Welcome to my podcast, The Conscious Buzz, where we chat about all things conscious living, holistic self-care, and the ways in which you can step into your highest evolvement in order to show up fully for yourself, other beings, and the Earth. Our planet is in an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation right now, and the world needs each and every one of us to own our truth, step into our power, and take action on behalf of our and the planet's highest good. I am here to remind you that collective healing happens on an individual level. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to come on here and say a couple things leading into it. So this episode is definitely a little bit of a shift from what I've been talking about in the past. My last episode, I was moving more into this space as well. But as I've taken a break from my podcast over the past few months, I've changed and evolved as we do. And as a result, the things that I'm feeling called to share and bring forth into the world, into this space, have changed and evolved with me. So while I still love speaking about nourishing the physical body and holistic health and all that stuff, I'm definitely feeling more called to sharing the depths of my soul and what I really feel matters and what the purpose of our existence is all about. So with that being said, in today's episode, I'm joined by an incredible, incredible woman. She's an intuitive astrologer and a spiritual guide. And we really get into it. Like, we talk about things that I've definitely have never spoken about on the podcast. And I'm just inviting you now to go in as open as possible, because I can almost guarantee that there are things that we speak about that your ego is going to want to reject and like put up a fight when it comes to receiving and just hearing without objection or without judgment. This doesn't mean that you hear it and immediately soak it up and are like, okay, that's true. It just means that you become a witness to it and you observe it without attaching a label or judgment about right or wrong, good or bad, any of that. So that is my invitation to you. And if this is the first time that you've ever heard any of the stuff that we speak about today and it resonates with you on a deep level, like you just feel it in your body, even though your mind is like, okay, I'm not really able to conceptualize or wrap my head around this, but you feel a sense of knowing in your intuitive body and you want to talk about it or you have questions or anything like that, I'm here. Like, would love to talk and hear how you feel about the whole thing. And if there's stuff that comes up and you're like, that doesn't make sense to me, or I don't really agree with that, or blah, 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 and you want to have a chat, great. I love it. I'm always open to communicate as long as we are prioritizing connection and working towards communicating in service of the bigger picture. So without further ado, I hope that you love this episode as much as I do, and I cannot wait for you to meet Autumn. So let's dive in. Okay, guys, welcome to another episode of The Conscious Buzz. Today I'm joined by a goddess herself. I'm so excited to have her on the show. This is Autumn, and she is an intuitive astrologer, a writer, a poet, a spiritual seeker, and a fellow podcast host. She has a podcast called The Metamorphosis of Autumn, and it is all things channeled wisdom and spiritual nuggets of gold and beauty and all the things that you could possibly want to know. We met about a year ago, probably, through a little spiritual community online. So I'm so grateful that our paths crossed. And I actually had her do my natal chart reading, which blew my mind. We've never actually met in person, but she arguably knows me better than anyone else on the planet. So yes, she knows the deepest depths of my soul. And I'm just so excited to have her on the episode today for you guys to get a glimpse of all of the beauty and wisdom that exists within this vessel. And yeah, so welcome to the podcast, Autumn.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Bailey. That was a beautiful introduction.
Well, honestly, it's just because you're so great. I couldn't have done it any other way. So I would just love to hear about you. And I've heard a little bit about your background and how you've been very like intuitively connected with other like spiritual realms in your life. But I would love for you to go a little deeper and just talk about what brought you to this point and who you are.
Yeah, definitely. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. So a little bit about me. Let's backtrack. Let me think. So I started on this journey, this spiritual journey. That's what I always say because I don't really know what else to call it, right? I had my awakening in 2012, 2011. And before that, I grew up in a pretty, wasn't extremely Christian. We definitely had the higher power views and we went to church Easter and Christmas and things like that, but we definitely didn't go every Sunday. I remember myself always just kind of questioning and wanting to know what else was out there. Partly because I come from a really traumatic background. And so I think that as someone that has dealt with trauma and someone that, you know, is healing through their trauma and wants to always look at their trauma, I think we always have to look back at our past and see what brought us here, right? So for me, there were a lot of different moments in my life, and not to share too much, but I have 2 alcoholic parents, and just from that, it obviously there's a lot of different things that can be encompassed with that, right? And so throughout my life, I always just kind of felt misunderstood, neglected, and I felt like I had to be the caretaker. I always felt like I was the one that had to figure everybody else's shit out, or I had to come to the rescue, my Virgo rising. And I had to be the one basically within my family unit to keep everybody together, to keep the peace, to make sure that everything was running smoothly. So having that burden from a young age, from basically, I would say about 8, is not something that any child should have to deal with. And it typically makes, what I've noticed at least, kids more intuitive and more perspective, at least, like more introspective. They want to look inward and figure things out, because when you come from that background, you just really don't understand. And for a while, I had other friends and stuff, so I saw how their lives were. So I knew that my upbringing wasn't what it should be. I wasn't, you know, in denial about that. But I also had to wear a lot of different masks throughout my life. So I felt like throughout that, I'm wearing the mask of being the child when I go to school, right? And then when I come home, I'm the nurturer, I'm the caretaker. And then when I'm with my friends, I'm the fun one, or I'm the, you know, I'm the one that's making everyone laugh, I'm the entertainer. So for me, it was really trying to mold all of those things together, with also dealing with the deep sadness and things that were going on behind the scenes in my life. So I think from that point, that's what really made me want to understand people, because when you have alcoholic parents, you want to understand and you want to fix them. That's what a lot of, that's what a lot of, you know, addicts, just in general, having an addict parent or having an enmeshed relationship with your parent, you want to help them and fix them. And so I think that was my first initiation into becoming this person who basically looks at other people's backgrounds or their understandings, their traumas, the things that have happened in their lives, and puts those together in a and a way for you to not only make sense of it, but also to find some purpose, also to understand that there's a meaning to the things that have happened to you, and they are meant to propel you forward, right? They're meant to help you along your journey. And a lot of my trauma actually has shaped me into the person that I am for the better. I thank God, you know, I thank the universe, I thank all of that for the things that I had to go through, because otherwise I would not be wise. I would not be, you know, sitting here with you today. I would not have looked into astrology. I would have not looked into all of the different healing modalities that I have, because, you know, as I got older, in my 20s, I, you know, now we're fast forwarding. And so that was when I really started to understand that I had trauma, because I think in childhood you don't understand what trauma is, but when you get right. older, you understand that hey, there's these things that are kind of sitting with me, and either I want to look at them or they're going to keep popping in my head and da 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 da. And of course, I took the role of as many of us do. I took the avoidant role. I took the role of numbing and not really looking at my things, and just went down that path for a while, until my great grandmother, who was a big spiritual impact for me. She was a Christian woman, and she was a go to church every Sunday woman. I just didn't grow up with her in the house, right? So she was a woman that could bring God into every conversation. We could be talking about a cup, and she would be like, well, God was the one who da 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 da. And I used to get so annoyed when I was younger, but now I look back and I'm like, that woman was just so in tune. So when she passed away, I had a friend, and we were supposed to go to a concert. And we decided to take a little upper to enhance. And she was like, do you really want to go? Do you really want to go? I know this just happened. And I was like, no, I want to go. Like, let's go, let's go. I don't want to deal with this right now. My 20-year-old self. And so we go to the concert. We take whatever we take, and we have a good time. And then afterwards, we're driving around the city, downtown Chicago. And I just remember, because when you do take that, you know, MDMA, which is what I took, when you take any type of psychedelic or anything, you're going to be hit more intensely with the feelings that you're already dealing with. So yes. Really, it wasn't the smartest for me to do that, but I did it. And no regrets. And I did it, and my friend was driving the car. And I just remember seeing like five purple elephants as we were driving. I started having visions, and then it was just a very interesting yet confusing moment in my life, because I remember parts of it. I remember the male clairaudient messages that I was receiving, but I couldn't tell you what was said now. I remember crying profusely and asking my friend if this is what it means to talk to God. Like, I was just I thought I was having an episode. Like, I really, really was so scared, but also at the same time, I knew that it wasn't an episode. I knew it wasn't me going crazy.
Wow.
And so that's kind of what sparked it. And then after that, I just from that point on, I just dove into spirituality. I was like, what the fuck just happened to me? Something crazy just happened to me. And so I started meditating. I started doing all of the things, right? Until eventually, about a year ago, when we met, that's when I started doing natal charts.
Oh, so I caught you at the beginning.
You caught me at the beginning, baby.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. I can't believe that was the beginning. You knew my soul. So, question. That first, like, really big, like, catalytic experience with
seeing something that kind of spurred you towards exploring your spirituality deeper was in response to a psychedelic experience. Have you since then, like, used psychedelics as a tool for furthering your spiritual growth?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely I have. Initially, I was not doing it for that. Definitely not. But I think it was partly the psychedelic, and it was also the fact that my grandma just died that day, and I literally just went to see her that day. So it was a combination of things. But psychedelics, I do think, can be of use if you are using them in the right state. At that point, luckily, I had the wisdom within me, the inner knowing, to go down the spiritual path, but somebody else could have taken a completely different route and checked in, you know what I mean? So I think that psychedelics are a great tool if you know what you're doing with them, if you have an intention behind them. They can be a great tool to add to your spiritual practice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like you were saying, how they just kind of enhance whatever you're already feeling. So if you already feel like kind of internally lost or disconnected from yourself, that's going to be a really scary experience versus if you are already kind of on that trajectory of like moving towards a deeper knowing, then it's just going to be a great time.
Exactly.
Cool. What's your, if you don't mind me asking, I love talking about this. What's your favorite one? Like your psychedelic of choice?
Mushrooms, definitely. Psilocybin.
Yeah, same. Cool. So I would love to talk a little bit about, and I know I just kind of scrolled through what you've recently been talking about on your podcast, I need to catch up, but you had an episode about the age of Aquarius, which is what we're moving into. Ooh. And I would love for you to give us a little scoop on what that actually means, what to expect, all the juice.
Okay, yeah. So I think that we started the Age of Aquarius in kind of a series. I think that that's how all of the ages start, and they actually start backwards. So we started with the Age of Leo, and I go through those in my podcast. But the Age of Aquarius is all about power to the people. And it's really about expanding our consciousness, our collective consciousness, through modalities such as astrology. I think that's a big reason that astrology is being picked up right now, through things such as tarot. Any type of occult-like taboo subject that's been taboo in the past is now not so taboo anymore. But those are the things that are coming to light in the age of Aquarius. It's also about justice for things that have been, ages of oppression on all fronts, you know. So it's really about the people coming together collectively and the powers that be over us, not the universe, but the powers that actually are directly over us on the 3D realm. These are the powers that are going to be destructed at this time. And I think that we can already see that. It's going to really be happening. It's really going to be happening more when Saturn moves into Aquarius pretty soon here. And then when we have Pluto moving into Aquarius, I think that's when we are really going to see a huge change in the political system, in control, power, all of those type of systems. So it's a beautiful time to be alive, in my opinion, because we are at the beginning of the age of Aquarius. So whenever we're at the beginning of an age, we're ending something. So whenever we're ending something, it's obviously not easy to do that. There's always going to be, you know, some chaos on some fronts, and we're seeing that as well. So there's people that don't want the age of Pisces to end because it's all about kind of putting illusions over people's eyes, and it's a beautiful thing as well. Like Pisces is a beautiful energy, but for the powers that be over us, it's a beautiful energy for them to have over us. So moving into the age of Aquarius, yeah, we're going to have more power. I think we're going to have more equality, fairness, we're going to have a lot more uproars, a lot more riots, a lot more systems falling, but it's going to be to basically build up a new system, a new way of living that benefits everybody, and not just the people in America, that literally benefits everybody that lives on this planet.
And in your like direct experience, as well as just like your intuitive inklings, do you feel that the collective psyche the collective psyche has what it takes, I guess, to do this, to deal with this destruction and build something new?
Yes, I do think that we do, because I have Jupiter in my first house. So this is my own personal feeling, right? I think that we can always overcome. And I do think that there's a galactic federation. There are powers that be over the powers that be. So it's like, you know, even though they think they have control over us, there's only so much that they can do before they are interfering with other dimensions, before they're interfering with other life forms. So if they are going to do that, which some of their plans are to do that, then I think we will receive interference. And that is coming in the form of people like you and I and other light workers, people that are spreading this more Aquarian-like message, which is, you know, to be, everybody deserves to be at peace simply because we are here.
My mantra, honestly. Do you have Aquarius anywhere in your chart?
I have a heavy 11th house, which is the house of Aquarius, but I don't have any actual planetary positions in Aquarius.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, I'm sure it does, but will, obviously, if we're moving into the age of Aquarius, will it be more significant for people who have like an Aquarius sun or rising or moon or whatever?
I think you guys will be activated definitely more. I think Aquarians are definitely always feeling this energy, and with the collective now kind of on your side, because you have an Aquarius moon, right? And I think you have,
yeah,
don't you have another Aquarius placement too?
I think so. I think actually my Jupiter's in Aquarius.
Okay. So yeah, you guys are going to be definitely feeling the impact of the collective consciousness coming together. And that's going to fuel you and motivate you in a way. I think that it's going to impact all fixed signs. So that would be Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio. So that's doubly impacting you.
Oh, geez. Buckle up, Bailey. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so going back to what you, to your answer to that question, basically, like, yes, you believe that the collective has what it takes, and if at any point, like, the powers that be, like, take their interference too far, there are powers above that that will come in place. Like, I definitely agree with you. And I just, I'm dying to know, how do you, what is your perspective, or what are your thoughts on the monoliths that are popping up everywhere?
Oh, my friend asked me this the other day too. honestly, I don't have too much of an opinion on it. I think if anything, it's just other life forms basically making it easier for them to connect onto our frequency, because Earth is a much denser realm, and any alien life form is a lot, is not on the 3D or the 4D frequency. They're much above that. They're 5D and above. So they have to somehow, I think, make Earth more compatible with their frequency. So I think that's what's going on here.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've never heard it explained in that way. That's so cool to think about. Yeah. I know that the move, like where we're moving right now, like we're in the three-dimensional realm and we're moving into 5D. But I do always kind of wonder, like, what happens? Do we just kind of skate through 4D, or is, like, the fourth dimension a place that we, like, visit every once in a while? Do we, like, is that where we pop into when we're meditating and it's not where we're going to stay? Do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I have been reading one of these books that talks a bit about this. And from my understanding, the 4D is not really a place that you stay in for too long, just as the 2D isn't. So it's like it's kind of like a middle way to the 5D. So I would think of the 4D as more of a plane to get to the 5D, but it's not our destination. I don't think that anybody's gonna like stay stuck on 4D. I think that we're all elevating, like, what's happening collectively, everybody becoming vegan, we're all having just much more conscious awareness and intentions in our everyday life, which is making the planet less dense, and that's eventually going to lead us to 5D. I just don't think anybody really has thought about staying on 4D too much because they're focused on 5D.
Yeah, I just sometimes feel bad for 4D because she just like gets overlooked. And I'm like, I think it's the bridge. Like, I'm pretty sure we have to go through there to get to the mansion.
Definitely. I think that we can be also in two dimensions at one time. So I kind of feel like we're in like 3D, 4D right now, depending on your level of consciousness. So it's like, until all of us get to 5D, like, I don't think that anybody's gonna fully arrive at 5D, because you can't, you're bound to this physical plane. But I think that, for example, you and I and people that we talk to and people that are of like conscious mind are probably more teetering towards 4D consciousness. But again, we are bound to our vessels and this earth.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Like, we're in a material world regardless.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is important. That's been a big thing for me is figuring out this balance, right? Like, being okay with grounding into this realm, like this material realm, and also like moving up into like the higher realms of my body, the higher realms of my consciousness, and finding that balance of like staying grounded and staying rooted. Because otherwise you just like you float off, right? And you become completely ungrounded. And I think that's was very much because I'm my background is in yoga, and in ancient yogic philosophy, it was very much about that. It was very much about like denying the body, completely transcending the body, and like coming out of the body. But I think that using like the body as a sacred vessel, right? So like using the body as a not using the body, but being in the body, like being inside of the body, really embodying everything, is a spiritual experience in its own, and like connecting with the earthly vessel, but still understanding that it's temporary, right? Like, it's the vehicle that's carrying you through this life, but it's not who you are. But at the same time, not just like completely disassociating and like disidentifying from it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so go ahead.
I was just going to say that I totally agree with that. I think that we can't deny our physical vessel as much as we want to, as much as we want to say that we are spirit, we are also here and now. So we're both.
Yeah, the duality, right? You know, it's a duality.
Mm-hmm. And I think too... I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
With the duality, what I've also been thinking and learning about more recently too is that that's part of our 3D consciousness and the 4D, and moving into 5D, it's more about oneness and coming into the universal consciousness and understanding that duality is oneness.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Right. Exactly. Which it makes sense. You know, like when you zoom out of the world and you take a big, big picture perspective, like cosmic perspective, stuff starts to like lose its punch. And that's not denying like the pain or the suffering that people that we move through as human beings, but it's being able to take a really big look and seeing that in the end, there isn't really like, is there good or bad? Is there right or wrong? You know, it's more mm-hmm. of like a, there are these neutral energies. And then based on like our own personal lens, our own personal perspectives and whatnot, we judge it as this or that, this or that. So moving to a place where that dichotomy ceases to exist is exciting for sure. But I think that there's a lot of resistance, right? Because even in myself, right? Like there are certain times, I think in anyone, like how, whether or not you're like super aware and conscious or not, we are human, right? So we get attached to our patterns. We get stuck in our ways of being and we get comfortable and we find comfort sometimes in the struggle. And we get so comfortable in it that we don't recognize that it's a struggle anymore. We're just like, this is the way that it is and whatnot. So even when we're offered like, hey, there's this whole other way of existing that's like so much more incredible, there's a part of us that just like doesn't believe it. And because we don't fully believe it, we're like, why would I change anything about the way that I'm existing for something that like I don't actually believe in? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally resonate with all of that.
Yeah. So I think that would be, I mean, there's already, of course, like so much resistance that's happening in the world, but I don't even know what the answer to that is. Like, how do you, if the world is moving in this direction and like our consciousness is being elevated and upgraded in this way, I just wonder for the people who are not like excited about it or who are not ready for that or whatever, what kind of a journey that will be. But even with that being said, so many people that I know, at least in my life, are waking up and their eyes are opening and they're seeing the world in a way that they've never seen it before. So hopefully every single human being on the planet will have that same experience. Mm-hmm.
And if not, they will transition out, and that's not a bad thing either. So I was watching this Dolores Cannon documentary the other day, and she talks about us transitioning as well into the 5D. And what she says is that, how are you to judge, who are we to judge what level of consciousness someone is on just by looking at them or interacting with them? We don't know their soul's journey. And if we were to look at, you know, astrology or human design or any of these blueprints to understand ourselves, even in human design, there's 4 ones, I think, are here just for a bonus life. So you may perceive them to be people who are just all over the place, having fun, blah, blah, blah. They don't care. But really, their life here is meant to be a fun life. They're meant to have a bonus life. So I think also switching our perspective to seeing that we don't know who's moving to the 5D because we don't know anyone else's soul but our own. So we just need to focus on getting our soul to the 5D.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just a form, which goes back to like a response very often to childhood trauma, is to like become the fixer. And that can turn into later in life, like wanting to adopt the archetype of like the savior and like wanting to like save everybody and like get everyone
on the boat.
Get everyone on the boat, get everyone's oxygen mask on, like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then you're off around.
literally. Oh my God. Too funny. I play that role so often though. I've started to ask people, you know, because I noticed that I give unsolicited advice so often. And so I've been like, what do you need from me right now? Do you want me to just listen to you? Or do you want advice? Or do you want me to shoot the shit? Like, what is it that you would like from this situation? Because I have advice, but should I give you advice? Mm-hmm. Is it something that you're asking for? Or do you really just need to be heard? You just need me to see you right now.
Is all that I have to say about that. Yes.
I love you, Bailey.
It's just so, I do the same thing. And I don't know, But it's interesting because I also have an alcoholic parent. So I'm like, is that a thing? I'd be interested to know if that's something that I really think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Because the nurture. There's like this, and there's this sense of wanting to like, you take responsibility, right, for the people in your life that you love that are hurting. And you're like, oh, like I must have like, I must have done something, like, which means that I could fix it in some way. But mm-hmm. you know what's so funny, actually? I feel like human beings, and myself included in this sometimes, take more responsibility for other people than we take for ourselves.
Oh, yes. Hell yes. Damn right.
And yeah. And
oh, yeah.
Which is just so funny because like we take responsibility for other people, but, and then as a result of that, we're like, okay, if I'm responsible for them, that means I have to fix them, which means I have to control them. But we know we can't do that. Like control, external control is an illusion. But like, if you take responsibility for yourself, you're like, okay, I can control my inner workings, but nobody, like, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Because we're comfortable. It goes back to like being comfortable in the patterns, whether or not they're serving us.
Right. Being able to look at those patterns and see if this is something that I have actually decided to do because of trauma bonding behavior, and deciding that I am the nurturer, I'm the one that can fix everybody, which is so not the case. And should I just sit and be? It's very hard for me to do that. It's very hard for me to not offer advice to the people that I love, or even when I'm doing a reading with somebody, I'm reading your energy, and to some extent I am going to give you advice, but even when I'm on a Zoom call, I don't want to be giving you the answers. I want to help you. I want to guide you through something. It's not what I think. It's about us, you know, coming to this understanding together. It's about you coming to the understanding of yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And I think advice, what's funny though, is that if you ask someone the right questions, you can get them to give themselves the advice that you were going to give them anyway. Like everybody knows exactly what it is that they need, but we just want to hear it. Because again, like we trust others more than we trust ourselves. So we want to like double check with someone else. But oh my God, it's so weird. Why are humans are so weird? I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, why are we so weird?
We're so weird. We put so much like of our external worth or our internal worth into external forces, external people. I'm like, why? For what? Like, this really, truly doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. The stuff that, and even the stuff that like we get stressed out about on a daily basis, it really doesn't. None of it actually matters. And if you ask yourself, like, is this going to matter in 5 years? Is this going to matter in 10 years? Like in the grand scheme of the cosmos, does this matter? 90% of the time, it doesn't matter. But then you think about the fact that like your soul chose to come back to this earth. Like our soul was chilling. Like she was having a great time. Like, and it was like, nope, I need to come back. So there's the suffering of the human condition is like equally matched with the ecstasy of it. And it's like it's a, what's that word? It's like a push and pull. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that there is, of course, this goal to like become the even keeled eye of the storm, but there's still this, there's something so beautiful about sinking into the depths of like the really dark parts of being a human in order to like bounce up and experience these like unbelievable highs that you get to have in this experience, but just not attaching to either one along the way. But it just, it makes you wonder, I guess, about, I don't even know what it makes you wonder about. What does it make you wonder about? What does anything make you wonder about?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because that reminds me of, I think it was a movie or some something that I was watching. I'm always watching something that's like inspiring fucking shit in my head. And it said that like basically the depth that you can meet your lows is the joy at which you can experience your highs. And it's so true because so many people want to not experience the lows and the really painful things in their life. And that was me at one point, okay, calling myself out. But until I did that, I wasn't able to like actually be able to cry, happy cry, you know, have these ecstasy moments, have these beautiful human experiences without the, again, like you said, attachment to it. And then also be able to sit in my pain and be like, this fucking sucks right now, but I know it's not going to last forever. Mm. And I ask like wherever my pain is hurting me, if it's in my stomach, I just try to feel into it now. Cause I'm like, what the fuck else am I going to do? Like we're quarantined. we're quarantined. B, like I need to, for me to fully feel, I don't even feel like I've experienced the full level of happiness yet that you can achieve. Though I know I've probably experienced, no, I don't think I've experienced the full depth of sadness yet because I haven't lost someone. I haven't lost a parent. And so I'm very thankful for that. But mm-hmm. I know that those moments in life can propel, you know, you to transform and transcend and then become the phoenix eventually.
Mm. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it's a form of numbing, right? Like when you're numb, you can't feel pain, right? But you also can't feel anything else. Mm-hmm. And there's like, I actually talked about this on my Instagram this morning because my eczema was flaring up this morning. And so my arms, like it was painful. But in these past few weeks, I've been grappling with this of like, I don't want to live in pain. Like if I'm living in pain in my body, it means I'm doing something wrong. It means that I'm unhealthy. It means this, it means that, it means blah, 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 blah. But this morning I was like, all that it means is that I'm alive. And that I can feel, like that's all that it means. Everything else beyond that is like a story that I'm attaching. And at the end of the day, pain is unavoidable. Like everybody experiences pain. Our pain is different, but everybody experiences it. So if my pain exists in this form, like how can I find gratitude in the fact that this is the way that my pain is expressing itself? Because it's, we run away from our problems only to get to another problem. So like, how can you sit with the problem and the pain that you have now and learn how to love it and learn how to celebrate it? Because you're going to get down the road and be like, oh damn, I wish I had the problem that I had 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that, Bailey. Love that.
It's, I think that pain is our teacher. Like, pain, I think, is what propels us to the depths of love that can't really exist. It's the contrast, right? Like you can have a beautiful painting, but then you put it in a frame or you put it on a wall and it gets even more beautiful because it's contrasted against something. Yeah. So like you can feel this aliveness and this joy and whatnot, but then you feel, like you said, those depths. And then when you come out of that, you're like, oh shit, all this other stuff is like so much better now that I know what it feels like to be in the other place.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah. What a life.
What a life that we live.
What is your favorite thing about being a human?
Oh, wow. What a beautiful question. I think either dancing, I'm gonna say dancing, and also that I never know what's gonna happen, just being surprised consistently by my emotions, by just everything in life. I like the fact that I don't know what's gonna happen next.
Mm. Do you think it took you some time to get to that place of being comfortable with the unknown, or was that, have you always kind of been in that headspace?
I think I've always kind of been that way to an extent, but it's taken me, you know, I can do it now with more grace. I can do it with more love for whatever situation or point of my life that I'm in, for whatever's showing up. But yeah, it tests me, of course. But I think that, like, my chart, I'm always going to bring it back to astrology, just shows me that change is something that I've always been consistent. It's always been a consistent in my life. And so I think when something does become so consistent, like change, you meet it less, with less resistance. So I just kind of lean into change. And like I said, I like what could happen, the possibility of what could happen, even if that possibility fucking sucks.
Yeah. Right. But opening yourself to that possibility, because there's always that beautiful what if.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best gift or the best surprise that the unknown has ever presented you with?
Oh, okay. Wow. So many. But I will say, I'm going to go ahead and say my move here to Colorado, because it was absolutely a manifestation. I wrote down everything that I wanted and I got everything on my list, and I didn't even fully ask for what I was asking for, and still somehow got it. So just that's the most recent thing that I can think of, and the most joyous thing that I have right now to hold on to, I think.
I love that. That's beautiful. The fact that you just, it's like, what's the word? Like a bonus from the universe.
It was a bonus. Yes.
Like, look, this year's been really hard. Here's some extra stuff.
Like, thank you so much.
Do you have like a specific, this might be a weird question, but a specific like manifestation practice, or, because
I do,
there are honestly so many manifestation teachers out there, like what is your take?
Yep. So when I first started the spiritual journey, I definitely was into the vision board, write it all down, think positive. And then I found to be Magnetics work, Lacey Phillips work, and her whole process revolves around unblocking your limiting beliefs, which is basically where we're manifesting from. We're manifesting from our belief systems, and not from our thoughts. So that's the rhetoric that she has. So I've been in her membership program for a year. I've done almost every program, and it's been, I swear by it. So that's the process I use.
So she's more about like getting into the subconscious.
Mm-hmm. It's all about getting into the subconscious, unconscious mind, looking at childhood beliefs, traumas, and then going in and reprogramming it from a hypnotic state.
Ooh. How have I not?
You would love it.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is like right up my freaking alley.
Oh, you would love it. I will send you a link.
Oh, yeah, that sounds amazing. And it makes that, I completely and totally align with that, just because I talk about this stuff all the time, but how, you know, 95% of our thoughts and behaviors are dictated by our subconscious mind. So like if you're trying to call something in that doesn't align with the beliefs that you have, it's gonna bounce off your brain. It's like not gonna work.
Yep, absolutely. So she works with that. She just upgraded. They have a neuropsychologist, I think, on the team now, that's backed up their manifestation practice, and they have so many goodies in there. I feel like you would love it.
Okay, yeah, definitely will be sifting through that later. Who, you're a big reader, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's more of audiobooks these days, but yeah.
Okay. What's one of your favorite spiritual books that, like at the beginning of your journey, that kind of got you started?
Okay, so I was very into Doreen Virtue when I first started this journey. And so I would have to say The Lightworker's Way, because it is just like stand really by her beliefs anymore, but her old new age philosophies I think are very much channeled. And so The Lightworker's Way was one of the first spiritual books that I read, and it goes through basically all things that you need to know on your spiritual journey.
I love that. And then now, are you unpacking anything at the moment?
I'm always unpacking stuff. I am unpacking. What am I unpacking? Let's see. Well, so through that workshop, through her membership program, I'm currently doing Up Level, which is one of her workshops. And I think what I'm working through right now is deservingness. I feel worthy for the things that I want, but the energetics of deservingness is something that I'm working through right now. And that's, you know, a lot of childhood things that I've seen mimicked and basically imprinted into my brain. So those are the things that I'm working on, is feeling deserving because I'm already worthy, feeling worthy of the things that I want, but the deservingness piece is what I'm now adding in.
Is that, is there anything specific that you're like calling in 2021, or a specific kind of like energy that you want to embody, or?
Consistency, actually, that's my word for 2021 is consistency, because I think there are so many people that have beautiful dreams and beautiful aspirations and many divine guidance and insights, right? But then if you don't take action on it, then it goes to the next person who's going to fulfill the mission. So I think for a long time, I've just fallen in and out of consistency with more of my spiritual creating. My practice is always there, but I think, again, that falls into the deservingness piece. So consistency is what I'm really trying to manifest and call in and embody in 2021.
I think that anyone that kind of exists in like the creative, emotional, spiritual realm can relate to that. Like, I know that I can for sure. I feel like I always have, I'm never short of inspiration, right? Like, I'm never short of ideas, but it's like, which one do I pick? Where do I start? Like, blah, 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 blah. And then, yeah, it's crazy. But that kind of goes back to finding that balance, right? That taking these like airy ideas, but then grounding them down into the body and physically manifesting them into the world. Cause like we can build these things in our imagination all day long, but they don't actually become like useful or valuable to the collective until we like embody them and then express
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to put it out into the world. And I think I've also, there's just a lot of people have consistency without the actual talent. And so it's like, imagine if you have the talent, you have the insight, you have the wisdom, and then you just add in the consistency portion. Like, I've seen a lot of either where there's no consistency, but there's massive amounts of talent, or it's the other way. There's a lot of consistency, but it's half-assed effort. So what I'm really working on is the consistency portion, because the Mercury in me doesn't want to do anything half-assed, but I really feel like that's what I want to call in 2021, just being consistent in all of my creative projects.
Yeah, I think that pretty much, honestly, I feel like that's what everybody kind of needs to be calling in 2021, because like 2020 busted some shit up. Like, we made a mess and now we need everybody to like get on to cleaning it up and like playing their part. So I think that all across the board, if everyone can embody that energy of consistency coupled with like aligning with their true like soul's mission, I think that would be really awesome. Mm-hmm.
How far we would go.
Oh, can you imagine? I just sometimes sit around and think about all the untapped potential that exists in myself and in the world. And, yeah. Ooh,
same, sis, same.
Oh my gosh. So do you have any like words of wisdom for the year ahead or the last month of 2020? Any nuggets or advice on how to finish out this year in the best way possible?
Wait a minute.
I cannot believe I just forgot this. The solstice. Hold on. Okay, wait. I'm readjusting myself in my seat. Please give me the tea.
Winter solstice. So I just really look at this time as a period to go inward. I really look at the solstice as more of following the seasons that it aligns with, mm-hmm. And what that represents with the season. So if we look, you can even look at this with Ayurveda too, looking at the colder energy, looking at going inward, being more present with ourselves. Just a lot of introspective energy going into our cocoon so that we can eventually, once spring comes around, bring everything out and be able to feel confident, basically have everything shed from us that we've looked at in the winter periods.
Mm-hmm. So a time of stillness and reflection and contemplation.
Yes, yes.
And do you have any gut feelings or instincts on how that is going to play out on a collective sense?
No, I haven't really thought about it too much, to be quite honest.
Okay, cool. Well, any advice that tells me to be still and go inwards, I'm here for it. I love it. The introvert in me is living for it.
Love that.
Okay, so where can all of the people find you? And I know you just spruced up your chart reading menu, so if you want to tell us a little bit about that and how people can work with you.
Yeah, definitely. So people can follow me on Instagram. I go by Meta, that's M-E-T-A, of Autumn, A-U-T-U-M-N. And then I also have a website that's metamorphosisofautumn.com. That's where you can book a reading with me. I think I have 5 readings right now. There's a transit reading, which basically we'll look at the planets, what houses they are in, and look at everything that's going on in your chart right now, specifically how the planets are playing with your natal chart. So that's a transit reading. And then I have the Western Tropical Natal Chart reading, which is the one that I've done for you and most people. It's the most popular one. And that's just me going over your whole natal chart, basically. And that's typically like a 2-hour long recording or Zoom session, depending on what you want. And then I also have a child's purpose reading or understanding your child. And that's for any children under 12 only, because I think over 12, it gets a little bit invasive. And I definitely don't give all the information when I'm reading your child. It's more of helping you understand, you know, why they reincarnated, what they're here for, their purpose, how you can work with their energy best.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I wish somebody would have looked at my star chart when I was a child and was like, hey, she really needs to be seen and heard and express herself. Like, let's not dim that. But oh God. Okay. And then the other reading that I have is a Discover Your Purpose reading, which just goes over some of the planetary positions, your North Node, and then the houses that are affected by the planets.
Amazing. Amazing. And you guys, like I said, we've never met in person, but she knows me better than anyone. So, and all of everything that you post on Instagram is so great. So be sure to follow her. You will not regret it. And thank you so much.
My podcast too. Yeah. I have a podcast. manifesting generator over here. Like I have this and that. My podcast, Metamorphosis of Autumn. And I'm also going to be starting in 2021 a YouTube and a Patreon account.
Oh my gosh. Wait, fun. Are you just going to do like readings through YouTube or what's going on?
Oh, no way. That's way too personal. I would just probably be doing some placements. So like, you know, recording Venus and Scorpio placements or I really like looking at celebrities' birth charts. So I might be doing some of that. just whatever kind of, and spiritual juice, tea talk, all that.
Okay, cool. So kind of like an expanded version of the podcast.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. That's so awesome. That's so exciting. Do you have like an idea of when that's going to be ready?
Probably by the end of January 2021.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Now you've spoken it out into the world. You have this level of accountability. So
yes. Yes, I do. Consistency, I'm telling you. That's the word.
It is. It's hard sometimes, honestly, but it's super important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the only way that you're going to get anything done. So literally. I gotta work on calling that in as well this year. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on and being so open and so truthful and just sharing your light and your beauty with all of us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Bailey.
And I will talk to you soon.
Yes, talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.
So I hope that you loved that episode as much as I did. I just love talking to Autumn. I think she's so amazing. I was just listening back to it and realized that the sound quality was a little spotty, so I'm sorry about that, but it didn't really infringe on anything too much. It's just not as clear and crisp as it usually is, so I apologize to your ears, but it's about the content, you know. So anyway, as usual, if you loved this episode and you really found something valuable in it, it resonated with your soul, it struck a chord in your heart, please don't hesitate to take a screenshot, share it, share whatever stuck out to you the most, and then tag both me and Autumn. I will leave all of Autumn's information in the show notes so that you can go book a reading, which you should. She's amazing. And yeah, if you love the podcast, please don't hesitate to leave a review, share it with your people, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful evening. Thank you for listening. I love you all.